The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Back at it on a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He is Kelly Bidlin. This show freaking flies, man. I love hanging out with you.
Hey, I love it too. We have a really, really important promotion.
I didn't know this was happening. I'm so confused.
This is like maybe the biggest deal promotion that we've ever done on VSiN.
Well, it's just funny because, like, you know, you never know if you weren't being promoted like this, but apparently we are promoting.
The summer of Swede proved that you needed to be promoted, apparently.
Well, also, I begged for this and they actually listened. We got a new logo. In case you didn't know, cashing out is back. Starting Sunday, we return. Once the prime time game is wrapped, the real breakdown gets started with your boy. We will guide you through the second half of Sunday Night Football. We'll take you through the fourth quarter of Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, all season long. Don't worry, we are back better than ever, locked and loaded. This Sunday, cashing out returns here on VSiN. As always, SiriusXM 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app. Sunday is actually 10 p.m. Eastern time, and then
you get to go an hour earlier.
It's nice. You feel like a human for a little bit. And then we go back 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Monday through Thursday.
That is a big 1 hour difference.
I would just ask one question. I got the new logo. I don't want to push too much here, but that picture of me, one with no hair, not the best look.
It looks okay. I mean, look, you went to the barbershop, man. You lined up nice up there.
And it's not that I'm not exactly like, it's not that drastic of a difference, but that is about 45 to 50 pounds ago for your boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We needed some updated images.
Yeah, that is about 50 pounds over there, okay? We're not at the goal weight. Maybe we'll wait till we get the goal weight, till we hit the Kelly Bidlin numbers here.
Yeah, have you seen the numbers game open recently?
What's that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Kelly. Kelly looks like he ate Kelly.
You're complaining about 40 pounds. That's like
a buck 40. What are we talking about? That's a valid point there. What do we think of the logo?
Oh, it's awesome.
James and the graphics team did a great job. I said, guys, we got to update it, but I need more my vibe. I need a little bit more fun, a little bit more lively. And I was like, slot machine theme, and boom, came through.
Love the colors. Are we redoing the open at all? Because I know what I told you is the cash out button. I mean, that's legendary on machines. Yeah, I think we need to have video of someone hitting a cash out button on a machine.
Yeah,
that needs to be worked into the open.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I think that makes a lot of sense here. Mm-hmm. We're cashing out the tickets here. With that, as we get set for the football season, it's always worth it this time of year. When the Athletic drops their quarterback tiers, it's Mike Sando.
Oh, I love this. Yeah.
And he polls a bunch of NFL executives, 21 execs, 29 coaches. Each voter placed 35 veteran quarterbacks into five tiers from best to worst. This is how the tiers shook out this week. And there's controversy as soon as we get to number five. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Your tier one, no surprises with who's there. It's just one omission. Mahomes is one. Allen's two. Stafford tied with Allen at two. Burrow is four, which means that Lamar Jackson's on the outside of looking in at the top five. Before we get to the Lamar conundrum here.
Yeah, for real, because I don't know if I even agree with the top four.
How do you feel about the order of the top four? Because I don't agree with the
order. I think it's dead wrong.
Josh Allen's number one.
Josh Allen's number one. You're telling me he's tied second? So you have Stafford on the same level? And you know what? Everybody hears me all the time go crazy about Josh Allen. This is more of a questioning of Mahomes for me than actually where Allen is.
Yeah, and I actually ding Stafford here because he has McVay and he has the playmakers.
Right.
So even though I think Stafford's operating at a different level, if you just watch the Bills, and I'm late to the party on Josh Allen. I was not really a Josh Allen guy. But the more you watch him just lift the entire organization with, quite frankly, a bunch of bums at the skill position spots outside of James Cook.
The offense was a rugby team last year, and that's what they're going to be again this year. It's fine. It's whether it's him or James Cook, good luck stopping that.
Yeah, I think I would go Allen one. I would go Mahomes two, but you can make the case for Stafford. And then Burrow four, but there's a world where Burrow this time next year is number one on the list.
There is. I think there's also a world where Burrow could continue to slip down this list too. But regardless, everything you said about Stafford applies to Burrow too, right?
100%.
Different ages, whatever. They're both stud quarterbacks. I would put them in my top tier as well. But you have to note the weapons that are around them that just aren't around Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Lamar Jackson, number five, not in the top four, not in the first tier. Do you believe that's correct?
Man, I sit up here and feel like I take shots at the guy a fair amount. I don't know that I'd have him in the second tier. I think I'd still have him in that first tier.
So here's what was quoted in the article. An anonymous coach on Jackson, quote, "I'm not sure how much he wants to run and take hits anymore. He can't be special without the threat of a run." I think that's a valid point.
No, it is. But I'm not sure we're at that point yet.
Kelly?
I keep being the guy who's like warning that this is coming. And when it comes, he's going to fall off a cliff. I'm not ready to declare we're there yet, though.
Kelly, who's the worst team in the NFL?
Who's the worst team in the NFL? Miami Dolphins.
If Lamar Jackson was on the Dolphins, could they make the playoffs?
No.
Could they get close?
Yeah.
That's my point. He has to be in the top tier. Yeah. He can take almost any roster and have them in the mix for a postseason spot.
But in large part because of the running ability.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. That's a fair point.
And as soon as that goes, we're talking about a different guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. We'll see what it looks like this year. He's going to need someone to sit him down. Like I always talk about, everyone needs a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs a friend that when they're going bald, which is, I have told my friends this, we need when that bald spot, the yarmulke on the back of my head starts to expand and it just becomes too transparent and you can see my scalp, you got to tell me it's time to shave it. And we go full bald. We're bicking this thing. We're oiling it up. We're going to have a shiny bald head. We're going to keep the beard to distract you from it.
Hey, man, we just saw the shorter hair. Yeah. You look good with shorter hair, man.
But Lamar Jackson needs the same friend.
Right, yeah.
He needs the friend to sit him down and say, I know you want to be a pocket passer. You're not. You are to some degree, but as a pocket passer, you're good. You're a good quarterback. As a runner with the passing ability, you're unlike anything we've ever seen this side of Mike Vick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go back to your bread and butter, lean on what made you successful, and use those legs to make this team a Super Bowl winner. If he's not willing to do that, then the list is correct. You're right. He is not a top five quarterback.
Moving on. Are we good on Lamar?
We are.
What was the next thing that jumped out to you? Because I had three big things written down, and it was Mahomes / Josh Allen at the top, Lamar Jackson, which I knew was going to be the biggest takeaway. And then I have one more. What else jumped out to you?
We're in the same direction.
Okay.
Caleb Williams is way too low.
Oh, I did not go there. I did not go there, but you know I can get on board.
He's 11th. Well, where were you going? Justin Herbert, 6.
That Bo Nix, we're going to put in tier 3, but some of the other names that are in the same tier as him and some names that are above him surprised me a little bit.
I'm not the biggest Bo Nix guy on the planet. I have Daniel Jones above Bo Nix.
Oh, you know what? I'm even kind of more okay with that. But like Jalen Hurts, we're putting him above Bo Nix. We're putting Baker Mayfield for sure above Bo Nix.
I thought Trevor Lawrence was a little high. I'm not gonna.
That's fine. I would expect there'd be some of those comments about Trevor Lawrence.
I'd actually go back and look at what went down with the Jaguars last year. In my brain, it was that defense carrying them, and Lawrence tried to screw it up a few times.
I think this tier. What is this tier three? I think tier three. I think we
it's
needed
a little
more.
Too big.
We needed more tiers here.
I need tier two A and tier two B, and then tier three A and tier three B.
Like you're telling me, Bo Nix. Like I cannot get on board with Bo Nix and Tyler Shuck being on the same level, or a Bo Nix with Tua or Kirk Cousins. At this point.
Bo Nix and Jalen Hurts are the same player.
I know that throws people for
neither are accurate. Both need to be schemed up. And if neither are running the football, you don't trust them to throw you to victories in the NFL.
Correct.
So I think whichever one Jalen Hurts is in, Bo Nix should be in. So if Hurts is in tier two, then Nix should be in tier two.
You know what? You said that better than me. When I was trying to compare to Hurts before, I probably made both these guys sound too good. I mean exactly that.
I think that Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams are too low. They're tied at 11. I would take Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams over Jared Goff, and I think over Jordan Love as well.
I would too.
And then if I'm going to nitpick here, I think Dak Prescott should be that between tier one and two. And that's another guy I was not a Dak Prescott guy. If you watch him operate in the offense, dude, if Dallas doesn't do something with him, I can't wait to see him go to a coach like Stafford did at the end of his career, who turns him into a winning quarterback.
Oh yeah. 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 Wait, what? So you think he has the potential to be that, but he's not there yet. So he should be further down this list.
No, I think Dak should be the first quarterback of tier two.
Oh, I completely misheard you. I thought you were. I was about to get angry.
No, I was going to say. So if Lamar is the, I have Lamar in tier one still.
Me too.
My tier two would begin. I would actually start it with Dak. Then I'd go Caleb Williams. That's how high I'm on Caleb Williams.
I cannot argue that at all. And I think I might have, I might have it the same way.
Let's hear
the one that I love real quick. I love, cause this is always my point too. And I hope it doesn't get taken out of context too much. I always bash Justin Herbert, but it's just the point of we killed Dak Prescott. We never kill Justin Herbert's lack of playoff success. They're the same guy. I think this poll got that part right, that they're right next to each other as far as rankings go.
We'll hear from a receiver for the Bears later. Luther Burden had some nice things to say about Caleb Williams. And with that, I think Caleb Williams, because I'm so high on him, 14-1 MVP. Is that enough for you to get behind it?
We and I were talking a little bit about
this. I thought
earlier.
It was going to be, I thought it was going to be like 18-20 range. But if I believe he's as good as he is, and he has the best play caller in the business, and that's a guy, Ben Johnson, who had us thinking that Jared Goff was an MVP at one point. I feel like even at 14-1, even though I'm not getting the number I want, I have to consider that.
And if you know what, so I just pulled up the schedule. If we're betting it, we got to bet it before the season too, because it is Panthers week one, Vikings week two. Yeah, for a schedule that gets tougher. I was hoping we were going to have a tough game or two maybe to begin with, then we could get in on a better number. I don't think we're getting that chance.
I'd take Caleb over Drake May. I think I'd take Brock Purdy over Drake May. And I was also didn't used to be a Brock Purdy guy. What do we do with the baseball card? The Cubs are favored to complete the sweep against the Dodgers. Will LA lose six in a row? We'll break it down on the other side of a numbers game.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game, VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson in the power chair filling in for Gil Alexander today, tomorrow, Friday. We got a lot lined up. I'm forcing Kelly
power
to do a lot
chair.
Of...
Power chair. I like that.
It's from the Mike and the Mad Dog 30 good. For 30.
I was in the power chair, okay? Sitting there right in front of the producers, okay?
That's how Francesa handled it. He thought, you know, I'm in the number one chair.
That was a pretty good impression, too.
You know what? I'm not good at impressions.
Yeah, that wasn't bad, though.
I'm not.
I got who it was, you know?
Like, Matt Eumanns does a good impression of me, but he just does the laugh from Eric and Billy Madison. He goes, because that's how Dustin Sweetelson sounds. That's what Eumanns does. That's his impression of me. It's pretty good, though, right? It's pretty good. Not going to lie. I got a big guy. I'm a big guy with a high-pitched laugh. I don't know how that happened, but unfortunately, it's the lot I was given in life. So that's the deal. All right. I'm curious what our next guest thinks about what went down last week on the show. In case you missed it, Gil Alexander was on vacation. Oh, he joined us to look at the most wins in baseball for the month of August. He gave out the Detroit Tigers. And it was 60-1.
Yep.
Steamed it all the way down to about 20-1 in the market. And he acknowledged, look, they're going to trade Tarek Skubal. I still believe in the Tigers. Don't look now, but Detroit's still winning baseball games. And we go to the source now as Paul Sporer, Tigers fan, joins us right now. You know him from Fangraphs, at Sporer on X. And he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Did you happen to catch Gil breaking down your Tigers and why he liked them to have the most wins in the month? And did you think it was a crazy bet?
I missed the breakdown directly, but we talked about it on text. And I didn't think it was crazy. I see the merit to it. The only reason that I'm not like super gung-ho about it, even as a Tigers fan, like I think they can keep winning games still, but that bullpen stinks. And one of the things that always bothered me was like, as they were making this comeback, I thought they should have been one of the first teams to act and start rebuilding that bullpen. It doesn't take a lot to do that. You can do that in late June, early July. And if it doesn't work, even maybe flip those guys, right? Just go get some waiver wire guys, maybe a trade for somebody from like a one of the terrible teams out there. Maybe jump on the Mets early. They had relievers for days. That's the tough part for Gilliam, is that this bullpen, they're just wretched. So even when the good starters that they do have left, like Troy Melton last night, are getting leads and the offense is getting leads, I worry about the pen. And I'm not just talking about the bridge to Kenley, but really Kenley himself. He's allowed some nasty walk-offs this year. So I see some merit in it. And obviously with two aces gone, he's got an uphill battle, but I think it's going to be tough because of the pen.
Oh man, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. A great start for
him. I hope he's right, obviously, as a Tigers diehard.
Paul, just looking at the American League in general, I mean, we got Yankees are plus 260 to win the AL. Then it drops down to the Rays at plus 450. At which team in the American League do you believe in the most at this point to make a run in the playoffs?
Man, I'm all over the Red Sox still. Now, I came into the season on them, and so when they were playing horribly, I'm, you know, questioning myself, what a terrible call, what were you thinking? And so then when they came around, you know, a little bit of confirmation bias, like, yes, this is what I was thinking. But also, I think they were getting to their level. Mm. They were playing at a low level, same with the Tigers, right? Both those teams got out to just catastrophic starts that really put them behind the eight ball. Of course, the Red Sox got the mega win streak that really put them back into contention completely. The Tigers played consistently well since June 1st and then did nothing to reinforce it. But I look at this Boston team, even if they don't get Crochet back, I really, really like how they set up. I think they still have a lot of depth of pitching, even after trading Connolly early. We'll see what happens with Mead. Obviously, that immediately blew up on them, which is just bad luck. But if Mead and Adley can come back, both of whom are injured right now, those are two big reinforcements into their lineup that has been hitting a lot better. The Yankees, I understand why they're at the top, because they have the great pitching. And if and when Belly and Judge come back, I can see them as the number one. But right now, Boston's my number one seed in the American League right now.
You can still get the Boston Red Sox 15-1. You mentioned no Crochet. How about them doing it without Roman Anthony, who a lot of people thought would be an MVP candidate this season as well?
Dustin, where is Christian Campbell? He's on the side of a milk carton as far as another guy. Like, right? Yeah. So, you know, between no Anthony, no Campbell, pretty much no Crochet, and then they've come back around. That's pretty, pretty impressive. By the way, what has happened to Anthony, and that's injury, so I don't want to go too hard on him.
Sure.
But the fade of Campbell is why I don't want to hear about how bad the prospect haul is that teams give up. Prospects are prospects, and things aren't guaranteed with them. So I know they got a little bit of heat for that Adley deal. I thought it was fine. They paid to get a premium catcher, and when healthy is a premium catcher, and that's what it costs. It costs money to get good players.
Paul, the irony is that deal is going back the prospects to Baltimore, who have refused to part with all of kind of the same type of player for a decade now. And they have nothing to show for all of these top draft picks, because the odds of all of them or most of them working out is slim to none. Adley was the beginning of it, and they didn't utilize him to capitalize on this window.
You're dead right. They have really lost that window now. They still have some of the guys there, but they'd have to kind of create a new competitive window here. They never really had the pitching. I thought they were going to follow the Cubs model with the Bryant, Baez, Rizzo era, which was build the foundational hitting, which they had with Gunner and all his lookalikes. All those guys kind of look the same with that moppy hair and the really good athletics, but they never brought the pitching. And when they didn't re-sign Burns, and I know he blew up, right? He probably would have just blown up with them too, injury-wise. But like, they didn't re-sign him. They didn't go out and be aggressive. The ownership even gave the Orioles the go-ahead on money. And Elias said, no, I want to do it this way, you know, with one hand tied behind my back. I don't know what they're doing in Baltimore, but they do get another group of prospects here. We'll see if they can turn that into anything. But I think the prospect hugging has gone too far. I was glad to see that that things loosened up in this deadline. We saw 10 top 100 guys go, and I like that. I think you should be trading prospects when you have a real chance to do something.
Paul Sporer is our guest. Fangraphs.com at Sporer on X is where you can find him. Speaking of prospects, the Detroit Tigers acquired a few from the Dodgers in exchange for Tarek Skubal. They lose the Dodgers, Skubal's first start at Wrigley Field, first one in a Dodger uniform. Cubs are going for a sweep today. The Cubs are favored to complete the sweep. Your perspective on the Dodgers, because, Paul, like, while I love what they did, because I think having a team to hate is good for baseball. I think having a team going all in is really good for the sport. You always need an enemy here, and dynasties are actually good for baseball. But they're plus $1.50 to win the World Series. You've watched baseball your whole life. It's never a sure thing that a loaded team like that finishes the job. who would you anticipate being the biggest challengers?
Well, you know, when you're starting to look back, I think the NL is obviously much tougher than the AL there. So I think they're going to have a tougher road to hoe just in general. I want to say the Brewers, but we've been on this whole, like, why doesn't their stuff work in the playoffs? And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the YouTuber Foolish Baseball. He does amazing YouTube breakdowns of baseball related topics. And he did one on the Brewers and basically said that they're bad pitcher merchants. And what the breakdown was that they beat up on the worst pitchers. And that's part of why their stuff doesn't work in the playoffs necessarily, or hasn't to this point. So while I want to say that team, I really think their chief rival in the Central, the Cubs, the team beating the Dodgers right now, poses the biggest risk to them, especially because they're going to keep adding by way of getting guys healthy, right? And a few other teams will too. But not only did they go out and make a lot of aggressive moves that I liked the Cubs, but they're going to get Ben Brown, Edward Cabrera, and of course, Clay Holmes, one of their acquisitions, are likely to come back. Now, nothing's guaranteed when guys are hurt, but if they get all three of them back with everything that they have, with the hitting and defense that they have, I really think this Cubs team is loaded for bear. And when they lost Cade Horton and Justin Steele this year, and they, you know, two legs cut out from under them, I thought they were going to have a really tough time. The way they've managed in season, I've been super impressed with. I think not just because they're taking 2-3 right now and maybe a sweep today, but I think they have a chance to topple the Dodgers in October as well.
Yeah. Can I play the award game with you guys real quick? I'll play both of you. AL Cy Young. Schlittler minus 130, Dylan Cease plus 110. These numbers seemingly just have not budged in, like, what, 2 weeks now, Dustin? It feels like,
right? Yeah.
Rasmussen down at 22-1, Logan Gilbert 40-1, everybody else 45-1 or longer. Would you guys go Schlittler, Cease, or somebody else? If you had to bet $100 today, I'll start with you, Paul Sport.
Yeah, I'm never taking the favorite in these when there's so much time left. Like, outside of like an Otani thing, which even then it's like, why? Because it's probably -1,000. But, you know, like, I'm never jumping on these favorites when it's this wide open. Drew Rasmussen for me. I love him. I think he's the true ace. He's a modern ace, right? Because he is more of a five and dive, six inning guy, but he's an absolute monster. And even though I hate that team performance plays a role in these individual awards, the fact that the Rays are good will help him there too. So give me Rasmussen.
I like where your head's at, just because, one, Schlittler, I've been concerned about the innings all year long. He's never thrown as many as he's already thrown, and we're seeing it start to wear. Cease is the most volatile guy out there. Rasmussen at 22-1. Here's the one that I don't really understand. I think Gavin Williams, Parker Messick, both from the Guardians, might have a case before it's all said and done. It's just Gavin Williams' ERA needs to be a little bit lower. But at the prices, I don't hate the idea of looking there. There's just not a lot of great options. Paul, appreciate the conversation as always, man. Everyone check out Paul on X at Spore and over at Fangraphs as well. And who knows, maybe we'll be talking about your Tigers in the postseason still, even without Tarek Skubal.
They did it in 24. Let's see if they can do it again. Great talking with you, gents. Take care.
Awesome stuff from Paul there. We have a lot to get to before we get out of here. We'll look at the baseball card, but more importantly, back to the NFL. Wins versus wins. Matchups with the win totals. That's on the other side of a numbers game.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we have to have a therapy session at the desk. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin. The notes are out of control. I don't know where my notes are for this segment.
I just realized.
Some people would argue that's what you should spend the break doing, but we were just teasing producer Danny Higgins about Lamar Jackson. And by the way, I'm a Lamar Jackson guy, but arguing because he's a Ravens fan. He doesn't like the criticism we threw Lamar's way. I don't think we were unfair in talking about Lamar.
I thought we were perfectly fair.
You don't like Lamar.
I do not have a problem with Lamar Jackson whatsoever. Okay?
I heard you're very anti-Lamar
guy. We have talked about, all we said was, once the guy can't run, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So it was said, right?
And it appears he doesn't like running anymore.
We said he belongs in that top tier still.
I mean, this is like Tarek Skubal deciding he doesn't want to throw fastballs anymore.
Right, yes.
This is the thing you do better than everyone else. I'm just going to stop doing it.
I'm trying to remember. What did I call? I called out Danny on the air earlier this week because we were talking Ravens, and it was way worse than that conversation.
Was it?
I forget what we were talking about.
Real quick, your general vibe. Jesse Minter takes over, and it's like Joe Brady. You take over a Super Bowl contender, there's no acclimation period. There's no, we're going to let you get your feet wet and get used to things. No, no, no. You're brought in to put us over the top. You have to do better than John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anti-Jesse Minter because I don't know enough about Jesse Minter, but it feels like you're asking a lot.
Well, just from the situation that you laid out, you are asking a lot. I think he was by far the best coaching hire of the offseason. I actually think Jesse Minter showed us enough that he is a quality coaching mind, and I think that is an upgrade in Baltimore.
I think the people he learned from are very important here. The fact that he was with
totally,
right,
yeah,
both Harbaughs and the game managing, the personality managing. But there is a part of me, I guess Hard Knocks debuted last night because I saw the clips making the rounds. I saw a good Mike McDonald clip that I loved, but I'll be honest, I could lie to you and say I'm really excited to watch Hard Knocks, but I know the formula. So by episode 2 or 3, I'm out.
Me too, man. But so on the same page, God.
I have a little bit of fear that Jesse Minter was hired because the Ravens regretted letting Mike McDonald walk out of the building.
I think that's a fair question.
I think there's a little bit of that with the move. Minter may be great in his own right, but I think seeing what McDonald's done with Seattle and knowing they could have moved on from Harbaugh a couple of years ago and gotten ahead of this thing, I think that might have been part of the motivation.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility of that. But I think like coaching trees are a real thing, right? And this is, you're talking about, I mean, I know there's some crossover with the Harbaughs and everything, but you're talking about two guys that are from the similar trees. I think there's every bit of reason that you could see Jesse Minter having a lot of success in Baltimore.
Now, when you were looking at win totals to do in our market, you found only DraftKings has it up right now?
Yeah, from what I could tell. At least nobody did in Vegas, because there are multiple of these I would be betting right now if they were available to me.
So it's interesting. It's head-to-head wins in the NFL.
Yeah.
Basically, this team's going to have more wins than this team. Right. And you and I went through the process. How many did you come up with? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
Something like that.
I have 6. We went very different approaches. We do have one that's the same, I believe.
Do we?
We are both, and this is
great. This is awesome.
This is quite a hill to die on between the two of us. I mean, you've heard of contrarian takes. We both like the Jets +130 to have more wins than the Browns.
It's awesome.
You know what? We should be betting this just because we deserve what we get.
No, you're right. But like, have you and I talked about Jets? I think Matt and I were talking.
Mainly.
Okay. So like, this is like, I think the Jets have some room to be a little bit better than where the win total's at.
Way more competitive.
Okay. Yeah. Like I think they could, competitive's a strong word maybe for this team, but I think they could be in that range.
They're going to cover. They're going to cover.
Meanwhile, I think the Browns are walking into a disaster season. I really think it is.
I'm telling you, the more I think about it, the 40-1 I bet on Shador yesterday to lead the league in interceptions, the more I want more of it.
Okay, so let's land on that real quick. This is, I mean, latest reports out of Cleveland, and Munkin said each quarterback's going to get a start in a preseason game. I don't think Cleveland wanted that to be a problem. They wanted to say, we're handing the keys to Deshaun.
But if they do hand the keys to Deshaun, I think it helps my bet, because I think Deshaun loses the job by week 3 or 4. They will not go back. They'll probably release him at that point.
So, and that's why they have to start him, right? Because
yes,
you can't go Shador, and it's like, well, then you're never going to.
And I think 12 games of Shador can still give me this award, because I ultimately come back to last year. I think he had 10 interceptions in 8 games. Let me look that up real quick before I speak out of turn. But he turned the ball over a lot, because Shador Sanders, I don't believe, can make all the throws you need in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Shador Sanders believes he can make all the throws in the NFL. How many games did he do that?
7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and that was in
8 games, 7 interceptions. I don't think they're like Dylan Gabriel. That's not a thing. Like, a serious organization's not letting him. Dylan Gabriel's like a free safety in the NFL. He's not a quarterback. I don't know what we're doing here. I really don't understand it. Shador Sanders is going to get the shot. It seems like Munkin, based on the social media videos, likes him. But yeah, that's why I like him to lead the league in interceptions at 41. But all right, give me your you gave me a really good angle at your first one up here.
Okay.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we'll load mine up here. I think there's different ways to utilize this market, first of all. Like, I love this. I'd be running to bet it. Yes, it is. You're betting on Team A to have more wins than Team B, right? So this is usually going to be something where you were going to combine a team that you're leaning over on their win total and going against a team that you were leaning under, or maybe you played an under, maybe you played an over, and you're trying to pick on some teams. I think that's a great way to utilize this market. I would be combining it with regular win total bets, but then there's other ways to use this as well, Dustin. The first one I circled out here, Bills over Patriots at minus 110.
It's a great strategy.
I bet the Bills minus 125 to win this division. This is a much better bet. Minus 110, you've got better odds, and you're just isolating over the Patriots. Now, there is a world, if you're at home and wondering this, what happens if these teams tie? Push, you just get your money back. That might be different. If you had a division bet, right? But that's, you're leaving it up to tiebreakers at the end. I'd rather take tiebreakers out of the equation anyways. I'd rather just push if they end up with the same record. So minus 110 over the Patriots, just a different way. If you're looking to bet divisions and you think that there's only one, maybe two teams that you really need to worry about, go and compare what the prices are at in this market compared to the division odds. Because this is, for me, would be a much better bet than betting the Bills to win the division. I don't have this available, though, so I had to land on the Bills to win the division. Now I'll go to the other ones where I'm kind of picking on some teams that I have unders on. All of these I bet under win totals on except for the Steelers. And then a couple of these, none of these I bet overs on win totals because I don't have any over win totals actually in the account right now. Ooh. Jaguars, though, I've talked about liking the Jaguars. I didn't know if I was going to get to them in the AFC South or over their win total. I don't think I'm going to get there before the season, but I think this is a market that you could look to play on them. I would bet on them, and I would lay 185 over the Panthers. The Panthers are a team I have under their win total. You and I have talked about them
all week. They can still win the division and stink, but they stink.
Yeah, next one down. I could go, I mean, this is, you could go on for days picking on teams that you hate here, right? You could make 20 bets.
I think that's my biggest problem is if I'm wrong on my read on how bad I think a team is going to be, I could be in a lot of trouble
sure.
in this market.
Yeah, no, that's true, and you got to be careful with that, right? So I went Jags over the Panthers. I went Jets over the Panthers at plus 225. I think my favorite one, those Vikings over the Panthers. This is where, when we're talking before about how do you bet the Vikings in such a crowded division, this, I think, is a good market to make Vikings bet. So Vikings over the Panthers, Vikings over the Steelers, and then there's the two Jets ones at the bottom. Jets over the Browns and Jets over the Panthers.
Jets over the Browns, that is one we agree on. I like Jets over the Panthers, too, although that's might be a little gutsy for me. See, you have one where you like the Jaguars, but it's over the Panthers, so I get it. I want to fade the Jaguars a couple way to get some plus prices. My strategy was all plus prices, right?
Okay.
Because if I can bet three of these, and I can go 2 and 3, and I'm not laying a number in any of them, you know, in the end, you add it up. I'm profitable in the end here. The first one, though, at the top, it really jumped out to me. I'm sorry. I think the Seahawks schedule is a lot harder than people think. I also think that the loss of Kubiak is going to be a transition for them. I am way high on the Bengals. The Bengals are a house of cards. I will acknowledge that. But at plus 140, the Bengals have a much easier schedule than the Super Bowl champs. For them to have a better record, I just don't think that's crazy. When you look at some of the teams that Seattle is going to have to deal with this year, right? Mm-hmm. Not just their own division. That plays a role as well. Cincinnati gets to face the Browns twice. They get the Steelers twice. Seahawks have to deal with everyone else in the West.
Bengals have a second easiest schedule by win total.
Yeah, yep. So part of my strategy was hard division versus easier division, or at least division where there's some gimmies. That's why I like the Bengals there. Chiefs to have more wins than the Eagles, plus 110. Again, I think the NFC East is going to be difficult. And while the AFC West is tough, it's still Mahomes and company who have a more lenient schedule than they normally do.
Yeah, man, this is one good for you because these are two teams I do not know what to do with.
I know.
I do not. Like, I could easily see them both like winning their divisions and being like real teams in the playoffs again or just not being that great.
I'm fading the Browns with the Raiders and Jets at plus prices, but how about my longer shots? Vikings more than the Jaguars, plus 140. Giants more than the Jaguars.
Okay.
That's the only one
I don't like. It's the only one I don't like.
VSiN College Football Betting Guide. It's out right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. A great breakdown by Aaron Moore why the Texas Longhorns can win the national title. Start right now for as little as $9.99 by going to VSiN.com/subscribe.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
coming in. Yeah. Welcome back in a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson with Kelly Bidlin. What's up, y'all? Want to remind you, cool contest that we unveiled yesterday on the program where two winners got into Circa Millions, Circa Survivor. You're looking to join them, be a part of the fold, be in the world's biggest football contest. Well, Winner Circle Proxy, they're ready to be your official proxy. Preseason football, it starts this week. It's time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the world. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at WinnerCircleProxy.com. So, Kelly.
Sorry, I'm distracted over here.
What's going on?
There's a guy on a meeting right now.
Oh, he's on a Zoom?
He's on a Zoom.
Oh, my God.
I've got...
Kelly, you won't go out of the studio and get behind him on his Zoom. Just do it. This is like a TikTok show where people, like, pretend that they're... You ever see the guy who has, like, the thing strapped to him so it looks like he's in his office, but he's, like, out in public?
Oh, that's fantastic. That's amazing.
This guy, it's either a fantasy football draft or a Zoom.
No, no, it's a Zoom. This looks like a real deal meeting. This is a serious meeting. He's nodding very aggressively. He agrees with whatever his boss told him.
Go find one of the servers.
I thought I saw Steve Cohen on the meeting at first. I was like, does this guy work here?
I will give you, like, I don't know, $20 to give a server right now to deliver him a beer, like, over his shoulder.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
While he's on the Zoom.
Do that right now.
While he's on the Zoom.
Yeah.
Get this guy.
All I got to do is buy a beer and just have it delivered to him.
I want the people on the Zoom to see, like, there's this pretty lady over his shoulder just dropping a beer off while he's supposed to be working.
The problem is, and I'm sure the crew's looking into it right now, is we do not have a camera angle of that. Yeah, we do have a camera for the book, but he's right below the camera. So, yeah.
It's too low.
It's a shame.
He's doing the sneaks.
Otherwise, I would do exactly that. That would be a great last segment. I could do that in the next
just mess with people.
Shout out to Alan Menken and Dennis Parker, by the way.
That's the names.
Yes, the two names.
I gave you enough time to look them up.
You did. Thank you. Yeah, it was a good stall. It was a good stall. And also, luckily, Bill had it in the email this morning because I definitely wrote those down and then still immediately forgot.
Dennis Parker sounds like someone you're betting on this week in the Wyndham Championship.
It does. It does.
So let's recap what we went over earlier today. Wyndham Championship, last event of the regular season. Top 70 will advance into the postseason. Yep. And this is a course where you take the driver away. It's about the irons, the wedges, shots on approach, but Bermuda putting, which is a wrinkle.
Yeah, it really is. And this is, I think it becomes difficult when we separate these events as much as we do. We haven't really seen these guys play on Bermuda in a while. So I do pull, what I do is pull some just more career historical kind of Bermuda putting success, Dustin. And it is, to me, the one putting surface that I do kind of cling to past numbers on more than really, not only more so than others, but it's like basically the only one where I'll look at that over just pure putting stats. It was, yes, regular putting stats, strokes gained putting, as well as what is your history on Bermuda. I think it's worth looking at this week. But look, there's you could make the case that putters better putting performances win this event. I didn't end up landing on that. Could have historical putters.
We're gonna
Hideki Matsuyama is not a great putter. Lifetime.
Okay, so you run through your bets, then we're gonna hedge it as a show. So I'm gonna bet other outrights as well, but I'm not gonna bet the same as you.
Okay.
That way combined, we can have six or seven together, and if we win as a group.
There we go. I like it. All right, outrights for me this week. Hideki Matsuyama 25-1. I know this number has gotten crushed. I missed the best of it when it opened in the 30s. I think anything at 20-1 or better this week is good on Hideki. I think he is really rounding into form and is primed for a win here in the next couple weeks. Tom Kim, one year before, he's been playing some great golf down the stretch here recently here over the past couple months. 33-1. Emiliano Grillo, great approach numbers past couple weeks. Look, all these guys, Tom Kim and Grillo, a little bit similar player profiles. Accurate off the tee, not big hitters off the tee. That's fine. You don't need that this week. Really good approach players are both of them. They can struggle with the putter from time to time. Looking for that spike putting week out of one of those guys. Top 10s then on Hideki and Tom Kim, just to kind of cover the outrights. And then top 20s, Grillo at plus 275. And then Ben Coles, I've bet a lot recently, over 2-1. One of the best approach players in the world right now over the past couple months is Ben Cole. So going back to him. And then Blades Brown plus 250. He's going to be the next like young gun on tour that we're going to be talking about winning one of these golf tournaments. Like him as a top 20 bet this week. And then one tournament matchup for me. Might add more. Check out VSiN.com later today. Ben Griffin minus 125 over Harris English. Bet Ben Griffin last week, Dustin. He is someone, if you had to ask me who would be my next outright ad,
okay, I'm glad.
Would be Ben Griffin.
So I have mine tiered out because I'm a part of this thing. Spencer Aguiar, who was on Follow the Money yesterday.
Who hit Thor Bjornsson last week, right?
45-1 when he was on.
Spencer, what a hit.
I'm in an event he's putting on with a bunch of people in the golf betting space, which is ironic that I'm involved because I don't know anything about golf, but I advanced through the first round. I'm in the Sweet 16. I took Ryan Gerard with my first pick yesterday.
I want Ryan Gerard,
North Carolina native, great on approach. And he's kind of built for this course based on everything that I saw out there. The other two I was debating at the top of the board was either Aaron Rye 27-1 or Ben Griffin 28-1. You prefer Griffin.
I would go Griffin over Rye. Look, Rye has a major win, obviously, this year already. Both him and Gerard are kind of interesting cases for this week because Gerard's done the whole weird season of started well, slumped a little bit in the middle, and then has been picking it back up the past few weeks. Aaron Riott was slump, peak, and is back slumping a little bit. So I would go Griffin over him.
All right. My question is, because it's not about bombers, should I do... So I'm going to do two more. And it's either I do two absolute long shots, or I do one more maybe in my next tier of guys, and then one long shot. Are long shots more or less likely with this course to be in contention?
More likely. We have seen a lot of long shots win it over time here.
I was going to either do Justin Thomas 32-1 or Tom Kim 35-1, but you have Tom Kim already, I think, right?
I do have Tom Kim. Yep.
So then I'm going to go with my two bombs. We are going to look at either Sung Jae Im at 42-1, Michael Kim 75-1, JT Poston 70-1, or Alex Smalley 60-1. Who jumps out? Sung Jae Im, Michael Kim, JT Post, and Alex Smalley.
I want to see where I have all these guys rated this week. Michael Kim is by far my highest rated of those guys.
Michael Kim, 75-1 here at Circa. That'll be my number three.
Sungjae's a good golfer. I still think he's working on getting his game back. He just gained on approach last week for the first time since March.
So play it. Should I play it safe and go Justin Thomas, 32-1?
You know, I don't hate that, but I don't love him this
week. You don't
think
he wins?
He's...
See, more of like a top 10 play, top 20?
I don't. Justin Thomas is kind of like Decky. He's probably going to go, he's either going to win the damn thing or he's going to flirt with missing the cut. I like Michael Kim this week. Michael Kim has been, he's put on some really good performances here in the past couple
weeks.
You know what? A T8 and a T10 last 2 weeks.
Then you know what? I'm just going to just do my top three.
You know what, Dustin? This is to actually follow my own advice, which I didn't. When you're looking for good putters, Michael Kim is a good putter and has had two really good putting weeks in a row.
So here's what I'm just going to take my top three guys. I'm going to go Gerard 28-1, Aaron Rye 27-1, Ben Griffin 28-1, and the bomb is going to be Michael Kim 75-1.
I like it.
That's what we're going to do. As far as baseball is concerned today, we're going to bet on the Dodgers and hope that they don't go back-to-back with sweeps. Five-game skid for them. You can get them plus 108 at the Cubbies. I think that's worth a look. How often are you getting them at a plus price? Imanaga missed mixed results against the Dodgers last year. 4 earned and 5 1/3 at Dodger Stadium back at the end of April. Dodger hitters, of their 19 hits, 10 are for extra bases. Edmund has 3 home runs. Paez and Muncy with homers each, so I like that. I'm also going to go Astros first 5. Minus a half a run against the Blue Jays. Jameson Taillon is a bad matchup for here, especially on the road. Now with Toronto, giving up a ton of hits to a team that can make him pay with Yordan Alvarez. Taillon, 76 hits in 76 innings this year. Also has 27 walks, only 68 strikeouts. He also has allowed the fourth most homers in baseball, 25 in 15 starts. And then Hunter Brown off the IL, he's really found himself the last two starts. 1.42 ERA over that span. Let's also ride with Christian Scott. This is a chasing of a plus money. I thought plus 121 on over 5.5 Ks was just a little bit too good to turn down here against the Guardians, who don't strike out a ton, but Christian Scott is actually striking out more batters on the road than he is at home. So because of that, I thought 5.5, I think he can get to 7 potentially. So with that, I'll go over 5.5 Ks with him here. Manaea did have 7 in 6 innings against the Guards on Tuesday. And the last one, I'm paying the juice tax here, but I don't mind it. Trevor Rogers of the Orioles against a depleted Angels lineup after trading everyone away and releasing Jorge Soler. Over 17.5 outs recorded at minus 148. He's cleared this in 4 straight, 7 out of 8. He's also done this in 3 consecutive home starts. I like Trevor Rogers here over 17.5 outs recorded.
Okay, good. We like it. Four baseball bets today. You had a pretty good day yesterday, right?
Yeah, I think we lost one, I want to say.
That's it?
Well, maybe we lost two. Damn, we might have lost. We lost the Mets.
Oh, the Guardians.
Went yeah, down. Yeah. The Mets beat us with the Guardians, mm-hmm. unfortunately. All right, well, that'll do it for us. More on everything betting-wise coming your way next. It's Prop Points, Nick Whalen, Eric Halterman. They're followed by Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. Very attractive man's going to join them at 2:15 p.m. Eastern time.
Ooh.
Find out who that is. Oh, it's me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's it. See you next time.